Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Racing Lanes with your hosts Rico Muhammad and Chuck Snow.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Racing Lanes podcast. I am your host Rico Muhammad, and this is the Racing Lanes podcast. I want to thank you guys for taking time out of your schedule to join us this evening for the podcast. This is a brave new world that we're living in today, ladies and gentlemen. And so tonight, to kind of help us out and to help guide us a little bit and get a little bit of insight on things that may be coming down the pike, we have a special guest, Michael Lampelli. He will be joining us this evening along with my co-host Chuck Snow. I'm going to bring them up and on board here in just a few minutes. But if you have questions or concerns, or if you'd like to join into the conversation, you can press the number one. That lets us know that you're in the queue, and we will try to get to you as quickly as we can to get you up and on board to ask or participate in the conversation. We're going to start out tonight with the DAT Trend Lines Report. Starting off, we are showing that diesel fuel price I'm not sure if it's a silver lining or how to take it, but I think, you know, we have to take advantage of all the options that are available, and showing that the diesel fuel price has dropped by 1.4 percentage points, showing a national average price of diesel fuel at $2.81 per gallon nationwide. That's a nationwide average. So I take that. We have to try to take those savings and try to put them back to the bottom line so that it can help our business operations. But van rates rose nationwide as retailers are scrambling to restock depleted inventories. The increases were sharp on the short-haul lanes and connected regional distribution centers with consumers in large metro areas. I've seen a little bit of chatter on Facebook and a couple of the other social media sites where, after President Trump announced the state of emergency, the hours of service were basically removed for anyone participating or helping out with the coronavirus efforts as far as delivery efforts. And I've heard some people complain that as soon as that happened, that the rates went right to hell in a handbasket. I don't get to participate much personally on the spot market anymore, so I'd be really interested if we have some ladies and gentlemen that are out there that are participating on the spot market to kind of tell us what your take has been and what your experience has been as when it comes to the rates on the spot market. Now, we're going to go over the DAT information that they have here as far as the rates for all different segment types. And we're going to start out with the dry van segment, and we're showing outbound spot market rates coming out of the northeastern portion of the United States, averaging at $1.64 per mile on the spot market for dry vans. Moving down to the southeast and mid-Atlantic states, we have outbound spot market rates reporting in at $1.82 per mile on average. And we have average spot market rates coming out of the Midwest at south central portion of the United States. We have an average outbound spot market rate for dry vans at $1.71. And coming out of the West Coast, we show average outbound spot market rates at $1.65 for dry vans. Jumping over, moving into the flatbed segment of the DAT report, coming out of the northeastern portion of the United States, we show an average outbound spot market rate for flatbeds at $2.10 per mile. Dropping down to the mid-Atlantic and southeastern portion of the United States, we show outbound rates at $2.30 per mile. Moving up into the Midwest, we show outbound spot market rates at $2.40 per mile. Dropping down to the south central portion of the United States, we're showing an average rate spot market rates for flatbeds at $2.12, and coming out of the West Coast, we're showing average spot market rates for flatbeds at $1.84. And wrapping up the temperature control portion of the report, coming out of the northeastern portion of the United States, we're showing outbound spot market rates for reefers at $1.88. moving down to the mid-Atlantic and southeastern portion of the United States, will show outbound rates at 197. Coming out of the Midwest, we show outbound spot market rates for reefers at 245. Dropping down to the South Central, we're showing average outbound spot market rates at 210. And coming out of the West Coast, we're showing outbound spot market rates at $2.02 per mile. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Mr. Chuck Snow. Chuck, how are you this evening?
We're doing well. Rico, how are you, my friend?
Doing great, doing great. Looking forward to this discussion this evening. And probably without any more to do, let's go ahead and bring Michael on, because I don't want to waste a lot of time. I want to make sure that we get try to pick his brain as much as we possibly can. So, Michael Lampelli, thank you for joining us this evening. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well, Rico. Thanks so much, and thanks for having me on. By the way, my name is Michael Lampel, not Lampelli.
Lampel. I'm sorry. I'm tearing it up.
That's okay. I've been called many things, my friends, and that's the nicest.
Rico, I just got a text from one of our listeners in Western Canada, and she, for some reason, she's not able to hear properly. I don't know whether we've done anything different on our broadcasting tonight. She's the only one I've heard from.
Well, I don't see anything on my end that would prevent anything from happening. All of my levels seem to be checking out fine on this end.
Okay, well, it could be them out in the West, too.
So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. I haven't gotten it. If someone else is experiencing that or whatever, if you have my number, you can text me or you can shoot me a message on Facebook as well. I guess the pressing thing that we're talking tonight, with this coronavirus taking a foothold, today being kind of like the second day of the national work from home, as in our industry, as far as trucking is concerned, we don't have that luxury. Somebody's responsible for helping to make sure that we get we get the products to market. And we are actually able to help this country kind of pull itself out of this state of panic and keep everything supplied. So we are kind of, right now, we're the unsung hero, I guess. We don't get much
100%.
We don't get much credit for what it is that we do. But guys and girls that are out here on the highways and byways that are really, for lack of a better term, literally risking their lives.
100%. And hats off to, the frontline healthcare workers, number one. Number two, the men and women that pound pavement out there throughout North America and even in Europe and other places throughout this crisis, because those are our brothers and sisters too, and they can't be forgotten.
Absolutely, absolutely. So with that being said, Chuck, I was hearing, like I said, on the spot market, there were different things, different reactions once the state of emergency kicked in. What have you been seeing with your brokerage arm? How have things been performing on your end as far as that's concerned?
Well, our regular carriers are still doing their regular lanes. No two doubts about it. As they always have and they always will. It's steady work. There's the odd, that's more than odd. When we get these rush shipments that are where another carrier can't get them and customer gets hold of us, contacts us to do something that we don't normally do, and they've got an extra shipment. Could be a part for a machine that's down or whatever. Sometimes the rates are insane. That does happen. It does happen there and there, here and there. We do see that. The regular freight goes for the agreed upon rate. So, that's how most companies operate. But yeah, you're right. Spot market rates, some of them have spiked considerably in areas where people don't want to go because of lack of backhaul, or areas where there's just lack of trucks because there's so much activity. So you do get some of that, no two doubts. But you know, I have to warn people on both sides of the table. I need to warn the brokers out there to be very, very wary of, and even some of the carriers, of double brokering scams. They seem to come out of the woodwork during times like this. So if you can't cover a load, let's say, from L.A. to New York or New York to L.A., and miraculously there's a guy that'll do it, you've never heard of him before, do your due diligence. That's all I can tell you. Because there's a lot of shysters out there, and they seem to want to come out during times of national upheaval, you know, in epidemics and pandemics and anything like this. And then on the other side, to the carriers, be very careful because you can fall victim to some of these scams too. And how they work is, a broker will agree to give a carrier $5,000 from New York to L.A., for example. I'm just going to use that as a number. And so a carrier gets this load, and he offers it to you for $8,000 or $10,000. And you go, wow, I'm getting $10,000 for this load. And he's doing it with the understanding that he's never going to pay you. So it doesn't matter what the price is. Just be watchful of that. Okay, deal with the people you know if you can on both sides, for our broker listeners and our carrier listeners. Carriers, I can tell you, things when you do get an opportunity to make some extra money, make it, but don't. Some of the stupid stuff I hear about from other brokers where carriers hold them for ransom on things, don't do stuff like that because it'll bite you. Carriers or brokers talk, any of the good brokers belong to the TIA, and there's hot sheets that go out. And if not hot sheets, there's relationships between the brokerage companies. Did you hear about, ABC Trucking? Don't use them. You get blackballed from all the good brokers, and then you've got to deal with the you can't even deal with the B brokers. You got to deal with the C brokers. You don't want to do that, especially in these times.
So, and Michael, maybe to kind of get you involved in this as well, seeing that freight volume everything seems to be good as far as that's concerned. However, listening and to the news and especially business news and watching the stock market and some of the concerns whether or not companies are going to have the means or the wherewithal to kind of get through this thing. Maybe you can help shed some insight on along those lines as well.
Well, first and foremost, Enrico and Chuck, thank you for having me on the show. And all I'm going to say is, first off, of course, that our first responders and the people in the healthcare industry are definitely on the front lines trying to help as many people as they possibly can. However, I'll just let you know of a famous old quote by Napoleon Bonaparte, which is, an army runs on its stomach. And if you want to see panic, watch what happens if the truckers don't deliver the food to the various grocers around the country. So while we may have a medical emergency, if the people don't get fed, now you're really going to have an emergency. So the truckers are you know, they're more – no, sorry, my apologies. They are just as essential as those people on the front lines, the first responders, the medical staff, and everything else, because they are keeping everybody feeling safe that the food will be there when they need it to be there.
100%.
So, and I believe that, both, every government in the world views the transportation of food, car parts aside and all that other stuff, they view the transportation of food as an essential, very, very important part of keeping everyone in the world right now calm while we work through this terrible time.
So, you got a lot of people out there, and I've been solicited tremendously here over the last couple of days as far as different companies have been soliciting me as far as wanting to take out a line of credit, wanting to shopping working capital lines. I've probably gotten maybe 10 or 15 calls in the past 3 or 4 days just along those lines about taking out business lines of credit and stuff of that nature, and not to even mention the emails that I've been receiving. How does one, with the outlook on everything right now, how does one, I don't necessarily need it, and I'm glad I'm in a position where I don't necessarily need an infusion in cash like that. Right now I probably will be really scared if I did need it. But for people that may find themselves in that situation, what would you advise, or how would you look at that?
That's an excellent question. I deal with this a lot, and with my clients as well in my financial business. First and foremost, I would say to everybody that if you can get a line of credit, take it, because no one knows how long this is going to last. That is the first thing you have to understand, is that no one knows when the lockdowns will cease. No one knows when the wheels will start to move again on the global economy. First, I just want to let everybody know, this has never been done in human history, which means this is not a typical normal economic cycle. We literally have ground the world economy to a halt. And the world economy, the way I explain it to many of my clients, is the largest train in the world. And a recession is when the train slows down. A depression is when the train is rolling backwards. And in this case, the cars are flying off the train tracks. So I would now,
that's not hyperbole.
That's not hyperbole. That's what's happening right now. Literally, you just have to see the heart-wrenching stories of people who work in the service industries, who are self-employed, who don't have the advantage of working for the federal government and being sent home with pay. Okay, so we don't know how this is going to last. Now, having said that, the first thing I would be, as you said earlier about the scams, is if you're contemplating a line of credit, read the terms really carefully, because not everyone's going to be your local friendly bank with this type of arrangement. A lot of them are going to be predatory lenders. The same way as there are predatory brokers and predatory carriers, there's going to be a lot of predatory lenders. Happen to have excess capital and think, hey, why not? Why don't I give you a line of credit at like 22%? And if you miss the first 30 days, I take your trucks. Read the terms really carefully. Don't just sign it because you need it. Am I making sense, Rico?
Sound advice.
And get somebody else to read it with you, maybe your accountant or your lawyer, because there are people, I've heard the same thing, Rico. I haven't seen it, but I've heard from some of our people I deal with, our smaller carriers, that have told me that, there's all sorts of offers out there. That's what happens when we have any type of emergency. I lived through 9/11 and SARS, which were really, although there was a huge loss of human life at 9/11, it didn't have the impact that I think this could have. Now, maybe it's,
this is having. It's not could have. It's having. It's literally having. The entire world is literally grinding down. Like, so things are actually stopping. Sorry to interject, Chuck, but it's not hyperbole. When I'm saying, when you look around the world, you think of Italy, which is the second largest economy in the EU, it's not manufacturing anything.
Shut down.
So,
and that's why, right now,
doing
our own personal part right now at this point, like this social distancing and working from home and not going, being out there. I saw something on the news last night. It was a bar in Nashville, Tennessee, over the weekend, and it was like nothing was going on. I can only imagine how this thing spread in that one venue alone. We really need to be conscious. I was talking to one of my business partners tonight, and he was telling me about people he knows that, in spite of all the warnings, went down south to all these resorts on the islands. And, of course, you know, that's how things spread. Maybe those people didn't have it, but by the time they come back, they may have contacted it on the plane or at the resort. And they bring it back here, and then all of a sudden, bang, you know, we have an influx of it from all over the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And Florida and all these other, well, mostly the Caribbean.
Yeah. So this is, so from that perspective, Rico, and for the listeners, and if you got questions, do call them in. We're going to go through a whole bunch of stuff on the economics front. I think, you know, what Rico said earlier and what Chuck said earlier is very true. Don't fall prey to a bunch of scammers. In these types of times, one of the things that happens is that the centralized control, the guys, the regulators and all that, are also dispersed. So it's really going to be a Wild West in the economic zone. So you're going to get a lot of people making a lot of promises, you know, trying to lure you in, then ripping you off, knowing that you have no one to go to report this to. All right. So if you do not know the customer, this is what I would do. I don't know, from a hole in the wall, 50% up front. I got nothing to lose if he says no, because I'm going, what do you mean, why no? I don't know you from that hole in the wall. If it's a broker you never dealt with, ask for upfront payment for a certain percentage. He says, well, I haven't been paid by anybody yet. Yeah, but I haven't been paid by you either. So I don't know if you're going to be open in a week's time.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, the critical part of what we always talk about with having those relationships. These are the times where the relationships are critical. When you have someone that you can call on and you deal with, you know them. These are the absolute times. But at those times, if you are out here and you are working that spot market and you're trying to get as much money as you possibly can on the spot market, and I understand that it may be right for the picking right now, and don't, how do I, Chuck, help me out with this, because I want to see our listeners and I want to see everybody be able to make as much money as they possibly can, but trying to balance.
Don't be, you know what, it's real easy, Rico, don't be greedy. If it looks too good to be true, it's not true. It's real easy. That's how people fall prey. That's how fish get caught. The lures are shiny. Go to a fishing store. It's a great metaphor for life.
Yeah, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered.
You got it. Deal with the people you know. Deal with the recognized brokers that, even if they're not a big broker, but they've been in business for a long time, and you know them, or your friend knows them, deal with those people. Deal with the people. The best thing you can do to protect yourself at this time, especially, is deal with the people you know. It's very easy. Men and women out there that go out now in this market and go and take trips from areas that they don't always run, okay? But somebody offers them $15,000 to go from New York to Seattle, Washington, be real careful, because you don't know what's going to happen once you're in Seattle. You know, if this thing got real bad, just think about it. If this thing got really, really bad, and the fuel truck drivers, if 50% of them got sick, we would have a shortage of fuel truck drivers.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a reality.
There's also other parts which I recommend to the listeners, they do this. You're going to start going to... Ladies and gentlemen, look, this is a very strange time in our world. You're going to start driving into areas that are going to be closed off by military or other types of law enforcement people because they're trying to quarantine the area. Do your due diligence. Do some research ahead of time before you go up there. You don't know because they're changing the rules every 6 hours. So you might take a load today from New York and you're going down to Illinois. By the time you get to Illinois, they could have changed the rules twice and put in place a curfew and also put in place roadblocks. And they are doing
that.
So
that's great advice. That's great advice.
There's some rest areas being closed now. So if you're stopping somewhere in Pennsylvania, and that's where you
and truck stops and everything else.
Yep.
That's what I was going to say. That truck stops are being closed. Restaurants are being closed. And there's a lot of things that as people that are living, if you're living out of the truck and you're on the road, but what I was going to say earlier, Chuck, was we're trying to find some balance is when it comes to trying to negotiate a rate right now in this environment, just because don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, just because hours of service has been suspended, that doesn't mean that you know, I think you still should operate in a safe and efficient manner. And at the same time, be fairly compensated for what it is that you're the service that we're providing. So that's what I was trying to, trying to figure out.
Rico,
you know,
well, on top of that, I just want to remind our listeners. So the hours of service have gone out and you're going to be the big hero and you're going to drive 24 hours straight and you're involved in a crash. Do you think the insurance companies are going to say to you, that's okay, Roy. Don't worry about it.
Well, your first problem, is you got to get a hold of somebody at the insurance company.
Well, don't worry. They, you know what? For something like that, there's somebody on call. But when you go to good point. But when you go to deal with the insurance company, they're not going to give you any mercy, nor are the people who are involved in the other accident. If you've been driving for over that 10-hour rule you're on your own, you may be doing it, but if you crack up that truck, don't think that whoever you hit, their lawyer is going to say, Roy was he's a good guy. He's got medical supplies or he's got onions for people or whatever. They don't really care. They're still going to go after worse than ever. And you may never get insurance again. Just keep that in mind because the government is very interested in, as our friend Michael said, keeping the lid on things. And God bless them in both our countries for doing that because that's the right thing to do because people, when they are not hungry, are pretty complacent in this continent. Hunger makes people angry.
Exactly. That's why the hoarding the other day and President Trump had to come on and say, listen, stop it, slow it down. Because this is, by the way, everything they're going through is a very natural reaction, right? I mean, if you see all those news reports when a hurricane's coming in, everybody raids the store. Only in this case, it's on a national basis.
Yeah.
So, this is a different time we're living in. And I would just want to tell our listeners, which is you're going to have to be do more diligence now than simply pick up a load. This is only day two. They've asked to shut down for 3 weeks. So you can bet that while there's a medical situation underway, and God willing, not too many people will be affected, there's going to be a whole country to move from A to Z in the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks and keep it running and fed while the system shuts down.
It is going to shut down. Yeah, because this thing is spreading. We've now got, when I heard the 6 o'clock news, we had 500 people sick in Canada with this that they know of. They haven't tested. We have 35 million people in this country, and I'm going to throw a number out. They may have tested a few thousand.
Well, see, that's the other thing about this whole thing that's kind of got me bewildered as well, because in Metro Atlanta alone, where I am, there's over 5 million people in Metro Atlanta alone, and the governor came out and they were talking about testing and everything, and as of I think maybe yesterday, they only had an ability to test 50 people a day. I'm like, what the hell? It's over 5 million people, but we can only test 50 people a day. That one left me really scratching my head.
That's why today, ladies and gentlemen, and if you got kids, this is why the quarantining is very, very important. Because if there is going to be a timeline on this thing being contagious, which is 2 weeks or 3 weeks, keeping people apart is the best way to reduce the spread. Otherwise, you're right, Rico, they've got to come up with test kits for 5 million people. And remember, simply because a person tests negative Monday does not mean he's not going to test positive on Thursday.
100%.
So
absolutely.
Right now is a time to stay calm, and I think the truckers of this country, the truckers of Canada, the truckers of the U.S., you guys are playing a much, much greater important role than you know. If the food doesn't get delivered, all hell breaks loose.
And some
so
shippers some shippers have gone to a different protocol now. I know my customer has definitely gone to a different protocol now. They don't want you coming inside of the facility. You have to call the number, and they direct you
yep.
there to what door to back into. They load the
yep.
truck from they load you up from there, and they'll bring the paperwork. They'll either bring the paperwork out to you and just hand it to you or whatever, so you can be on your way. But they don't want you, coming into
nope.
the facility or
don't.
Whatever. So there's a couple of different things. And different ways that we have to handle this, our response to everything that is going on as well. So I just want to remind, we
right.
have a bunch of callers on the line right now. We want to remind
everybody.
Oh, okay,
let's talk to the people then.
You're welcome. Well, I want to let them know you're welcome to participate in the call. All you have to do is press number one. If you got a question, comment, you just want to put some input in, you're more than welcome to press the number one. We'll get you up and on board. Just want
to give them the number. Give them the number to call, Rico. Give them the number to call.
They already have to have the number. They already have to be already listening in. But I'm just letting them know that the people that are listening, if they want to participate,
okay.
they can just press the number one, and that lets them know. That lets us know that they want to get in on the conversation. So until someone does that, we'll keep talking amongst ourselves. But yeah, so as far as I'm trying to think, Michael, as far as this thing doesn't seem to. I'm thinking about the stock market. It doesn't seem that, and what we were talking about with the lines. It didn't before all of this took place, and I know things are changing very rapidly. But the banking system didn't really seem to be in any type of trouble, unlike previous times when stock market, was going through a little bit of a correction or anything like that. Do you think that's going to remain true, or are there something, are there maybe a hidden fly in the ointment somewhere?
Well, first off, unlike 08, in 08 it was a banking crisis. So what the government had
right.
to do was they injected $800 billion into the banking system, or else the oil would have basically – there was no more oil in the engine. So they had to keep the oil coming in, and that's cash. In today's crisis, there's no problem. The banks are really, really, really well liquefied. The problem is not the banks in this particular case. The problem is that we are all interconnected each other, from the bartender to the waiter to the marketing guy sitting at the table to the company the marketing guy works for. So all of a sudden now, if these guys are not being paid, the interesting part is there's oil in the engine, but the gas is running out because the people are the gas. So what's going to happen right now is they're discussing, like tonight, President Trump is seeking $1 trillion of stimulus. You can do all the stimulus you want, but this is an engine. How do you plan to get the money down to the ground level?
Right.
Now you understand my comment about the line of credit. You got to keep the in Italy as an example, a very dear friend of ours, the government is paying the mortgages as well as 80% of salaries of people stuck at home, right? So this is going to be all new. This has never been done before in American history, or Canadian history, or world history. They've got to find a way to keep everybody who was paid a paycheck on the first of the month to keep getting a paycheck on the 31st. So this is why it's going to be a very different thing. So the stock market is only reflecting the uncertainty of the investors. That's all it's doing. It's just reflecting that. And that's why I tell business owners today, if you can get a line of credit, get the line of credit and keep it there in case you need it. Because if I'm going to war and I have 100,000 enemy facing me, I don't manufacture 100,000 bullets. I want to manufacture 1 million bullets. Why? Well, because I'm not going to hit everybody on the first shot.
Right.
And I never want to run out of ammunition. And cash is the ammunition. So for those drivers who are out there right now, when you're now – if you're hauling for somebody new, as Chuck said, do your due diligence. Maybe even ask for money up front, because after all, you got to pay your bill. Remember, the customers you had before might be stopping paying you. So you cannot take it for granted that the customers you had last month are going to be there to pay you this month. So if you're extending terms, don't go past day 45 and give them a 5% or a 10% discount if they pay you within 30. You want to keep cash coming in. This is not a time to get greedy. This is not a time to jack anybody. This is a time to say to yourself, if I have money in the bank, I can keep running the truck. I can keep paying the gas. I probably have to buy my own food somewhere along the way to keep myself in that seat. And, of course, as Chuck said, do it very carefully and follow the rules. Just because a lot of the regulators and all that are going to be MIA for a while doesn't mean you shouldn't follow the rules. But that's why you need that. But be careful the lines of credits you take. So in this case, the stock market has nothing to do with this. This has nothing to do with that. This is about how do they get money down to the bank levels. They're even talking about paying $1,000 to every American to cover their end-of-the-month bills. This is why this is different. This has not happened before. I know I'm sounding a little bit hyperbole, a little bit over the, you know, a little bit too dramatic, but I will tell you that come week one and week two, then you're really going to start seeing the impact.
So now I want to take this thing out a little bit further because what and pose this question to you: how does it look? What do you anticipate this thing looking like when we come out on the other side? Because I think we're starting to see some numbers come out predicted about unemployment, because you're gonna have people that are getting, especially like hospitality industry, the airline industry. I've just seen something that came across saying that some people are predicting as much as a 20% spike in unemployment. So how would this thing look like maybe coming out of the other side of this?
Well, this is really an interesting question because my background is economics. So one of the interesting things, you know, unemployment counts people who had a paycheck. It doesn't count self-employed. A truck driver can no longer drive is no longer counted as unemployed. Because he wasn't working.
If he's an owner-operator, yeah.
That's true.
So we live in what's called the gig economy. You have a lot of subcontractors in this, you know, even working for the major tech companies. So if a subcontractor is laid off, that's not counted as unemployment. And if he hasn't made unemployment, and when you're self-employed, if you want unemployment benefits, you have to voluntarily pay unemployment benefits, unemployment insurance, while you're filing your taxes in order to one day get unemployment insurance. And, of course, many people live paycheck to paycheck. They don't pay unemployment insurance because they need the money. So they're not even going to get unemployment insurance.
It's funny you said that because I remember that Delta, I don't want to lose the point, but I just remember Delta, which is the home airline here in Atlanta, they laid off. They basically got rid of a lot of their contractors yesterday.
Of course, yeah. They're the easiest one to get rid of because contractors have no legal rights.
Right.
Right.
So you just cease the contract. We're done. Okay, done. And that's – so from an economic perspective, what it's going to take coming out the other side is going to – and here's the part which is unfortunate for the world today. The American economy accounts for 23% of the global world economy. Which means while Italy is now starting to see the daylight on the side, Italy does not contribute 23% of the world GDP. The Americans do. So the world will not recover until America begins to recover. That's not a good thing.
This thing is serious.
This thing is very serious. So I would advise anybody today, even myself, I say, look, if you could still talk to the bank and say, listen, I need a line of credit, get it. Worry about the repayments later on, but get it. Why? And for the truckers out there, only pay your basics, like food, mortgage if you still have to pay mortgage payment, delay the utilities. Utilities, by the way, in most of the country have been forbidden from cutting utilities off.
Right.
So there'll be no one cutting their utilities off. But as far as the gas goes, when you get into that truck stop and you need to fill up with gas, there's no such thing as see you later, Joe, come back with money. Where's your car?
Over. Yeah. Diesel fuel. Yeah.
Right. Now you get it, guys. So if you have that line of credit, you put that card in, it'll tap into the line of credit if your clients are slow in paying.
And that'll save you.
And that'll save you, right? So, and keep very, very good records of the clients you had before this began who have not yet paid you, right? Because they're going to be shutting down for a while. Some of them will, because not all of them are going to be essential. So don't lose track of the fact that you might have, you know, extended, you know, terms for other clients. You're going to come back, but do speak to them and say, hey, when do you think I can get paid?
Right.
Am I making sense?
Right. Maintain contact in the relationship so that you make sure that you are.
Because they might be shut down for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks. You don't know what financial situation they're going to be when they come out. So you're in a good position in that if you've been decent with them during this time and they start to recover, their cash flow is not going to be moving at 100 miles an hour when they start. It's going to be crawling. But you want to be at the top of the list of what they require to get back in business.
And you do that by not gouging them. That's number one.
That's right.
That's the biggest thing. Be fair. You know, everybody's got to eat. Just be fair, everybody. And we can get through this. It's not on a good note, though. What I understand is China is in, I think, day 58 of this crisis. And the only new cases are ones that they can trace back to somebody bringing it in from another country. And it slowed right down. In the words of another friend of mine who is very much in the know through a fund he manages, he said it's right down now. Things are just at the turn of getting back to normal. So we may be out of this 60 days to some extent.
I don't think so. The difference between us and China is this. China locked down 750 million people.
Yep.
And they have a very simple system. We see you on the street, we shoot you.
Yep. Or we shoot your brother.
Okay, so that's the Chinese system. Whereas yesterday, the pictures out of South Beach is everybody is neck to neck with each other, sitting next to each other on the beach, not taking any of this seriously.
Great point. Great
so,
point.
So this is going to be, you know, it's going to be up to people to instill in the younger people, which is you may be okay, but you're going to kill your grandparents and you're going to kill your buddy's grandparents too.
Right.
100%. So, you know, we got to get the young people who, you know, you guys did everything online before, so just go home, sit there for 2 weeks and do it online.
I think
why do you need to be at a bar?
That, you know what? We all make fun of millennials, but I got to say something. I think in my world, I think kudos to the millennials. Whatever we said about you on this show, we take it back. You guys have been a hell of a lot better than my generation, especially at understanding the importance of social distancing and things like this, and putting yourselves in hibernation for a couple of weeks. You guys get it, working from home. I know some of the people didn't want to do it, but they did it because it was the right thing to do. And I'm really impressed with this generation that's come up. They've done a great job. It's my generation. And one of the concerns is that we have up here in Canada, and I have no idea what it's like in the US of A, but up in Canada, we have one ventilator per 100,000 people extra that's not being used right now as we're talking. So really what we're talking about is when all these people come back from Turks and Caicos and these wonderful Nevis and all these wonderful islands, and they bring back these diseases in a month, there's going to be a lot of carnage. I don't think we're any better off than Italy.
Yeah. Now, I will say that, you know, Rico, if I can make a suggestion, this could help a lot of the local truckers. This is also a good time for you to connect with the shippers in your area and tell them you're available to do favors. That means if they need a short haul for like a 50-mile drop-off, whatever, their driver's out, tell them, listen, I'll bill you. Don't worry about it. I'll collect it later on. Here's my number. Let me do the run for you if you need me.
Now, that's an excellent way to – we talk about building relationships. We're talking about – that's absolutely a great way to let people know if you really want to get your name out there. I hope everybody was listening to that one. If not, do the replay. you know, this, every
so this is a great, because you're going to have a lot of manufacturing in that area who are also going to be hurting. Their staff may be out, their drivers may be out. This is a good time to pop in, drop off your card, and say, listen, I get the times are weird. I don't know if your accounts payables are open, but if you need somebody to haul something like 10 miles, 20 miles, 50 miles, don't worry about it. I'll bill you for it, just my normal rate. But if you need me, call me. I'll do the run for you.
Yep. That's how relationships are made.
That's really turn a cold call into a warm call. It might start out as a cold call, but if you go in with something like that, with that type of proposition, that definitely warms it up.
It does, and they'll remember you, because if you do one run for them, they will remember when the doors open again.
Absolutely.
That's when you make friends.
That is this. You know, you're part of the community too. It's not just about money, right?
Right.
No, it's not. I think that's something we're learning. It's not just about money. You know, it's about being part of the community. You know, making sure your neighbor's okay.
Yeah. This is in these times is when the fabric of a society is tested.
Yeah. It's true. Michael,
Rico, you said
explain to our listeners why so many of these stocks have tumbled.
I can go the multiples and all the thing, but in essence, all money, especially from the institutional investors, which is the pension funds, the zillionaires, billionaires, they're always looking for safety. So they're investing ahead of the curve. The stock market is always projecting forward. So they're projecting where they think a company is going. In this particular case, basically, as the money is melting, the investors are saying, I need to take half my money out of the market. I need to put it somewhere safe. So the U.S. 10-year T-bill is the one I watch. I don't really watch the market as much as I watch the bonds, because the bonds tell me more what the investors are thinking more than anything else. And I knew there was a problem last Thursday night. I was at a bar with a friend of mine, and we were having a beer, and I was watching the 10-year T-bill. And in an hour and a half we were talking, the 10-year T-bill moved from like 60 basis points down to like 51. The markets were closed. And I'm looking at him like, that is not a normal move. Like, there's something going on, because the money was already leaving the markets and trying to find safety. It's always trying to find safety. So this is going to get very strange. We're getting to zero interest rates, never done before in history. We could even get to negative interest rate. And for anybody that wants to understand what a negative is, you're going to buy a house for $500,000, but you're going to pay them back $450,000. That's exactly what negative rates is. They lend you $500,000, you get back $450,000.
They had that in Greece not too long ago.
Well, they have it right now in Germany, and they have it in Japan, and they have it, and they're pretty close to it in France and UK as well. So, I mean, the world is almost zero. The U.S. 10 years back at 1% today, but I got a feeling tomorrow will be a different story. So this is a time, as I said, load up on extra capital, keep good records, keep very good records of who you've done favors to, who you've done loads to. And I think Rico's right, which is, if you're extending terms, don't extend past day 45. Give them a break for paying you early, right? Don't get greedy, as Chuck says, because cash is king right now. Nobody needs a really, really fat accounts receivable book they can't collect on.
Exactly. You know what? That $15,000 load you took to the coast that you never got paid on, I'd rather do a $1,000 load from New Jersey down to Virginia or the Carolinas and get paid than the $15,000 load that I'm never going to see money on.
Yeah. I mean, the gas prices are falling rapidly because, well, on top of that, the Saudis and the Russians are in a massive war. Good time to have a war.
Right. So, okay,
you know,
Joe.
So if our friends – yeah, go ahead.
No. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
No, personally speaking, if they're going to dump oil all over the floor, I'm glad for you guys. I wish they did that last year.
Okay. Well, we got someone that wants to participate here. Let me hold on a second. Let's go to the caller. Caller calling in from the area code 209. You're up on the Rates and Lanes podcast. How can we help?
Hey, what's going on, brother? This is Lamont. How you doing?
Hey, Lamont. How are you
doing? Well.
Time right now with all this coronavirus.
It certainly is.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you, how long do you think this is going to last?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows, brother.
Nobody. We're hoping, you know what, some of our governments are very optimistic, and they're saying a couple of weeks. I don't know if that's realistic.
No,
I've heard everything from 60 days, and Michael shot that thing down because here in North America, we all want our freedom to as long as September.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Well, there's a couple of things, Lamar, which is there's the virus, and then there's the economy. So that's
yeah.
a different story, right?
That, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to plan for the worst possible scenario, which is, God willing, in 2 weeks they lift it, everybody goes back, the curfews are done, they quelled this, cool. Getting people money back in the bank, getting them. Remember, it's sort of like you've been off sick for 3 weeks, right? Your bills are still piling up. So for the next 2 months after the 3 weeks, you're just playing catch up with your bills.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Trump's going to give out some money or no?
Well, he can say he can give out as much as he wants. How he gets it to you is going to be the really interesting question.
Okay.
Right? So
do you think this is going to lead to anarchy? I mean, honestly.
As long as I will tell you this, the government is going to make it illegal to evict anyone. It's already illegal for utilities to shut off utilities. So that they can do very easily. That's done. In Italy and other places, they've done that. They're paying the mortgage payments. In Canada today, they're announcing that they're going to make an announcement tomorrow. They're going to look at making the mortgage payments. But really what they're saying is they got to make sure the banks are liquefied. So they don't really care about your mortgage as much as they care about the bank's balance sheet staying healthy. So they don't mind paying your mortgage, because they're trying to keep the bank afloat.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what the mortgage is all about. The real question is, they got to keep you fed.
Yeah.
Because
the food will be there.
All hell broke loose. Sorry?
No, the food will be there, for sure.
Well, hold on a second, in all fairness, what happens if, I'm going to play Professor Doomsday. What happens if all of a sudden, even 30% of the meat industry can't work because they're sick with the virus? You're going to have a shortage of meat.
Yeah. I mean,
Lamont, look what happens when people thought there was a shortage of toilet paper.
I'll wipe my ass with a dry sheet, you know.
No, I understand, but the herd mentality. They went out and bought tons and tons of toilet paper and water, and somebody said, why are you buying the water? There's no coronavirus in the tap.
Because something they have control over.
Right,
yeah, well,
it's
you know,
just
I,
human
I, I think
fear.
It's crazy, you know. I really think it's crazy, and I think that, you know, none of it's going to come to that, because I'm at our city is in quarantine right now, but I'm kind of laying low. I'm staying indoors. I'm only sucking cock, every other now and then. And it's been kind of hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not easy. You're not spending a lot of money either.
We're going to get through this. But I can't tell you when it's going to happen, my brother. I just don't know.
My boyfriend's got a really big cock.
One at a time.
Okay. Well, we appreciate the phone call, and we got about 5 minutes left in the show. Chuck, well, actually, Michael, if you would like to, if you want to put your contact information out there to tell people how they can get a hold of you if they want to, have any questions or any concerns, anything like that.
I'll give you my public email, which is Michael, michael.lampel, L-A-M, like Michael P, like Peter, E-L, @gmail.com. That's my personal email, not my business email. If you got questions on, you know, what you're offered or, you know, what you think, by all means, shoot me an email. I'll be happy to answer you. But I'll tell everybody right now, load up on as much ammunition as you can get in terms of capital, not real ammunition, please. Real, put some capital in the bank. Okay.
Might be too late.
Don't need that. I know that. I know that. You know, it's listen, I love hunting with a howitzer. that cow didn't stand a chance. You know, but I mean, load up with capital. Go to your talk to your local bank today. Get that line of credit. If you're being offered line of credit, as Rico you are, read the damn thing very, very, especially on covenants of default and demand payment. Those are the ones where a lot of you get. Listen, as Rico said, there's gonna be a lot of scavengers out there, and if they smell blood, they'll gladly give you the money. And buried on page 92 will be the covenant of they get 15 minutes notice to you, but they call their loan in, and if they don't, they take your trucks.
Yeah, right. That's not an exaggeration.
That's not exaggeration. Read the covenants very, very carefully, especially on the demand repayment part. But if you can get it, sock it away.
But again, I want to remind everybody, if you're going to get a line of credit before you sign, get somebody that you trust, spend a couple $100 with the lawyer to get him to read it over, or if you have a good accountant, a CA, okay, or a certified public accountant, or somebody like that with credentials that's experienced, get them to look at it for a second look. It's just well worth it. Don't sign. I know some of you are going to be desperate. You're desperate now. You were desperate before this thing happened. Don't fall prey to anything because you're desperate. Please.
Yeah, no one, I can tell you this, when all this is going on, Rico, no one's coming for your truck, okay?
Oh, they don't have room to park.
No, there's no one around to go repossess your truck because you missed the payment or something like that. That ain't going to happen.
But shortly after, it will.
Right.
Well, no, even
right.
Shortly after, there's going to be a lot of very lenient terms. The banks are going to be put under a lot of pressure by the government to be really, really, really lenient with terms.
You can
until
right,
the economy
Michael,
recovers.
You can negotiate with your if you are making truck payments and you get into a jam. The first thing you should really do: don't start BSing the finance company or the bank, whoever's holding the paper. Go in, see them. You're not the only person in America or in Canada that's having this challenge. They don't want
yeah.
to repossess your truck.
Now,
so if you went
if
to
I can make
say,
one,
listen, go ahead, Mike.
Sorry, no, go ahead and finish up.
If I can make one suggestion, be 100% forthright with your lender, okay? Tell him what
yeah.
you're going through, and what they will do quite often is they will give you what's called skip payments. And they'll say, well, you know what? We're going to let you skip March and April, and we'll pick you
yeah.
up again in May. And that'll give
yeah.
us – that'll give you, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 to get ahead of yourself. And that may be all you need in your case. You know, maybe you're a larger operation with 10 trucks, and, you know, it's 2 or 3 months or every second month you get to skip, or maybe you get to skip July and August. I don't know. A lot of these people have creative people working for them that don't want to repossess your truck. They don't want to take away your truck and put it on the line at Ritchie Brothers Auction. Trust me. They
right.
want to work with you.
Now,
just be honest.
There's two other
the
points.
Chuck, you start, there's, go ahead.
Chuck, before we get out of here, Chuck, go ahead and tell the people how they can get in contact with you. A caller that just pushed number one will try and get you in right after Chuck gives his information. We'll try to wrap you up. You'll
best
be the
way
last
to reach
caller.
Me then, right now. Because I'm working in my home office, send me an email, chuck@traffix.com, and I will answer anybody back. I'll help you any way I can. You can try calling me at 800-388-4352. My extension is 203. Leave a name and phone number. I will be getting back to everybody, not as quickly as I usually do probably, but I will get back to you. Or just send me a private message on Instagram at chucksnowceo.
All right.
And lastly, do call your insurance company and see what they're willing to take for payments these days.
I don't think there's any negotiating there. Trust me.
Yeah. We're going to try to get this one caller in before we get out of here.
All right. Go for it.
Caller from the 407. What's your name and how can we help?
Oh, hello. My name's Jake.
Yes, she.
Hello.
Howdy. Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, hi. So I just got a new truck for my birthday. It's a Ford F-150, and I just had some questions about it.
I think you have the wrong show there, Jake. We don't handle the personal pickup trucks, but thank you for calling.
Right, right. Yeah, we got some jokesters tonight.
I guess so. You know what? I'm glad somebody's got a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Right.
So
right.
No, but if you got to make payments, make like a $50 payment or $100 payment. But contact your lenders and right now talk to them. Chuck makes a great point. Talk to your lenders. Talk to your bank. Talk about getting capital because you guys are going to have to stay in business throughout this whole thing. A lot of other places are going to shut down. Not you guys. You can't shut down or else we're really in trouble.
With that being said, I want to thank Michael for taking time out of your schedule to come on and join us tonight to give us some valuable insight and information. We really appreciate it. Thank you guys. Thank you goes out to the listeners for taking time out of your busy schedule. You could have been anywhere else, but you were here with us, and we definitely appreciate you. We'll talk to you same time, same place next week.
And stay safe.
God bless you. Absolutely. God bless you. Good night. Stay safe. And keep it in between the mustard and the mayonnaise.
Catch you on the flip-flop. God bless.
Take care, guys.